He became sin for us who knew no sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. It's our fault. And, it's a great, great thought and song there. And thank you, Miss Merrick. You have to forgive me a little bit. I think I told you yesterday I may have swallowed a frog. I think it got lonely, and I think I swallowed another frog. One more night with them frogs, right? I think frogs need water. I'm going to have to get some of that. And I may cough a little bit. I know 4 years ago that was a crime, and it still is in some places. Second Samuel chapter 23. It's been a privilege to have been a part of this meeting. I'll try to remember to pray. Our church is actually starting revival next week, and we fasted from potatoes last week, and this coming week is bread. It's the more difficult one, but I always tell the church, man shall not live by bread alone, right? So just find something else to eat. That's what I tell them. But mainly the focus is to keep our minds and hearts on praying for revival, right? And you have a gifted speaker coming. I know you know Brother Graham. I've known him well. As a matter of fact, and we gave some testimony about our son's funeral and things, but you know, Brother Graham, I think he's lost two siblings over his lifetime. Is it two? I know it's one, but two, I think. And anyway, it was a blessing, he thought, and I could tell, you know, he had been through, he sent silk flowers. You know, it lasted, you want some things to stay a little longer at the graveside, and so their church thought about silk, and that was a blessing. But anyway, we sure do need revival. Amen. We do. Maybe we need viving first. Maybe you just don't know the Lord's your Savior. Everlasting life is a real thing. Aren't you glad that we have it, even though we don't deserve it? Man, that song had an impact on me. That was good. Yeah. Well, let's get into what the Lord has for us here. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to start reading verse 8. We'll cover more text here, I think, but mainly just a few verses here from David's mighty men. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite. That guy had to have been tactical or something. I just like his name, the Tachmonite. I don't know who the Tachmonites are, but they sound like a very tactical people. Anyway, they that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. His name was Adino, the Eznite. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Hohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. The title of the message is Cleave to the Sword. Cleave to the Sword. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we sure are thankful for the help we've had the last couple days. And it's a unique kind of meeting. We pray you'll continue to bless this church as they are in a venture to get to a certain kind of need and help. And Lord, it is reality. And it doesn't get talked about much. I'm not sure exactly why, but it's just, well, again, it's reality. But Lord, you are acquainted with grief. And so, Lord, we're so thankful that you are the God of all comfort. But Lord, this is your day, and Lord, these folks here are one of your churches. And Lord, we've come to worship you, we've sang about you, and we have prayed, Lord, we've had offerings. But Lord, we now need your word. And so we pray you'll help us to put out the things that may be on our minds or so much going on in the whirlwind of busyness in our culture. We pray you'll just pour in a calmness, and Lord, that this story, this history in Israel would help us to think, Lord, and all the other verses that go along with it. Lord, thank you. Lord, were it not for your grace, we might not even have a full translation of your word, as many cultures don't. God, forgive us, Lord, we let it collect a little too much dust. Lord, this is a strong church who stands strong in your word. But Lord, it's very easy to get sidetracked from it. It's very easy to lay down the sword, and we pray. You'll strengthen us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. In this chapter, we have the last words of David. And he wanted to honor the mighty men of his great army. I think that's a good thing about giving credit where credit is due and things like that. And there's a lot of water gone under the bridge from the time where we first see David as Saul's armor bearer and a shepherd there, and then defeating Goliath. A lot of victories. Of course, he was on the run. Things happened. He went into sin, but he got right with the Lord, didn't he? As a matter of fact, he got so right with the Lord, the Lord used him to write Psalm 51 after it happened. I try to encourage guys, we do jail ministry and things like that. I know many of you involved in recovery and things. And it's not too late. If you're still on this planet, God has a plan for you. And he can use you. So if he's forgiven you, it's just a clean slate out there. When you get saved, you're justified. Anyway, you know that. Got to keep moving here. So we're just mainly focusing on the one here, the Eleazar, the second mentioned of the three mightiest men of David's list of 37 mighty men. And we see back in verse 17, the last part there, these things did these three mighty men. It's a little tricky. There's some other mighty men too that did do different things, but rather than get deep into the text, I'm not going that far. And I encourage you to read this. It's there's a lot of goodies in here. All the Bible's good, right? Amen. But there was one certain battle that against the Philistines, this man had earned this battle story of fame. He clave to the sword so firmly and for so long, they couldn't let go of it. And so, some of you know me, I really do better with visuals, so I went ahead and brought one here. Might as well use the real deal, right? So here it is. Sorry, it's not made in the USA, but it's what I have, and it is two-edged anyway. And so back when I used to work at the camp years ago, we had a speaker. His name was Dean Blakeney, and he was a karate guy in his past. And so that was kind of his icebreaker thing for teenagers. He would, do the thing, break some blocks, and usually he'd find a rebellious teenage kid and, put a watermelon on his stomach he'd play it up and all the stuff, and he'd say, I'm not afraid, are you? He's not afraid, right? So, but he would do this sword like this, and I just was impressed by that as a young person. And so I took a stick and just began to practice that. Now, beware, Brother Tim, I'm you're not afraid. I know I'm not afraid. Bother me a bit, but so I got to doing that just for grin. I thought, man, that's kind of cool, just whip it around, and have some fun with it. And anyway, I know you're really impressed, but anyway. But he just had the sword so tight he couldn't let go of it. And we're going to say some more about that in a minute, but my hope is that you know, as the Word of God comes, it sticks with us. And picture is worth a thousand words, and this one might be worth a few more than that if I lose it out of my hand. But right to the points, here we go. First thing we're going to look at is, number one, the enemy. The enemy. The Philistines were kind of that, during this era of time in Israel history, it was that forever enemy, you know? It's like these guys just keep coming. You know, they were fighting Saul already, and now they're still fighting David. And I know it's a period of time, and it just seems like that it was this nation that brought forth Goliath, right? The son of the giant of Gath. To that first battle, little David at that time fought the Lord's battle and was victorious. And Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s, big victory there. And as far as I'm concerned, David was well qualified to identify which men were worthy of the title of being David's mighty men. No doubt about it. But those Philistines, you know, they just wouldn't go away. As a matter of fact, Israel still has enemies to this day. Now, I'm not going to dogmatically say that they're still Philistines. I know it's Palestine. It kind of sounds like that word. I'm not a history buff. I don't know. Maybe, I'm sure there's a few generational relatives down through there. I'm not going to say it. I don't have to, right? But they still have an enemy, you know. And now some of that maybe they brought on themselves, you know, especially in God promised that if you bless me, I'll bless you. And if you curse me, if you go into idolatry, I'll send in the enemy. Didn't he keep his promise? And we could see all that, but here they are. And so some of that they brought on themselves, but it seemed like they never quite overcome after entering Canaan. They never did. And someday they will, I believe. In prophecy, but anyway. But what was this one point? The men of Israel were gone away. I got to thinking about that. I said, man, some guys took... what was that all about? They were supposed to be on their side. I'm just throwing this out there. Could maybe these three mighty men were abandoned for a little bit? Something happened there. Now, if you want to dig deeper, go ahead. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep moving. And I remember another tribe, Psalm 78, verse 9, the children of Ephraim, being armed, carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. So evidently, and I'm not saying that's the same spot here, but I'm just saying sometimes people abandon the cause. Come on, guys, you're no help here. These guys are trying to, you know, fight the battles of the Lord like their king, David, And I mean, you might as well be the enemy if you're helping the devil's cause, right? We have enemies, okay? And maybe you could sum it up as a world, flesh, and the devil. And the devil is that forever enemy, okay? Technically speaking, people are not our enemy, okay? Otherwise, we'd have to throw out love thy neighbor, love thine enemies. I think that's a thing, isn't it? Love your enemies. Anyway, so as far as Satan, our adversary, the roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour, he's not your friend. I've walked this floor before talking to kids saying the devil hates you. He wants to destroy your life. Just to rip you to pieces, just like a lion rips that zebra or wildebeest, just shred it up and has it for dinner, so to speak. The devil hates us, and he is the enemy. What does the Bible say about that? Know his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. You don't have to go study witchcraft to figure all that out, but we are to be knowledgeable of his devices, the scripture says. Neither give place to the devil, was already said in Sunday school, adult Sunday school anyway, this morning. Don't just give him the spot. He doesn't switch off when we switch trails in life. He's still the enemy. But the others, the world and the flesh, they keep attacking. You know, sometimes really not the devil, it's us. We are the self is powerful. Doesn't have to be. We're no longer under the bondage of sin. We're not under the control of Satan, but if we dig up the dead man and prop it up like a zombie or something, it's going to stink. It's not going to be a sweet-smelling savor as a living sacrifice in the nostrils of the Lord. And so the flesh, I try to, as we work with recovery and folks coming out of the jail and drug addictions and things, and they get saved, and right there, you know what I'm talking about on lesson number 4. We talk about it. I don't know, maybe it's 3 for you. I don't know. Basic Bible truths. Are we tracking some of us here? And so when they get saved, I say, now let me just help you here. Satan's not real happy about this. And it's going to be all war now. It's going to be so much like you never believe. So call us. Don't try to take it. He's tough. And so prepare for it. Because he is unhappy about that. And Satan keeps attacking you. Who else you think is going to attack by soldiers of the but soldiers of the cross? He's going to attack people that are standing for righteousness. He's going to try to knock them out. Expect it. The devil's going to be the devil. You don't go around whining, man, I'm just getting under attack. What do you expect? That's what we get all the time. And if it helps any, we're not a persecuted culture. I think we persecute each other more than... I think that's a problem. We got... You said, I'm so busy. We have too much time on our hands because we're not under persecution. And so we kind of look around and say, who am I going to bother? And it's just like... I'm sorry, I'm ranting a little here. Now, whose battle is this anyway? There is a battle going on. There is a battle. And maybe you haven't enlisted yet, but if you're saved, you're to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Didn't it say that? Somewhere in there? It's got to be a thing. But Eliezer remembered. He sure did. He kept swinging, didn't he? He just kept swinging. The enemy kept coming. Some of them ran away. Great. They ran off. He just kept swinging and kept swinging and just kept swinging. The enemy. Now, let me help you here. We're going to finish this point. It's the Lord helping, really. But just because we might get weary with the enemy doesn't mean we quit the fight. Let's look at it again close. His hand was weary. Verse 10, his hand was weary. You get weary in the ministry sometimes? If you're not getting weary in the ministry, you're not in the ministry. I don't know what you're in, but it gets weary. Can we just be transparent? Can we just be real clear with each other? Sometimes you may think, man, we go up that church all the time. We can get carnal sometimes. But won't it be worth it all when we see Jesus? Won't it be worth it? We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every knee shall bow. I'm thankful to be on the practicing. You know, we're already practicing kneeling. I'm already kneeling. You know, I don't want to be forced to, like the atheist and stuff, but it's good to be saved. Isn't it good to be saved? But sometimes it gets a little weary. My kids were in church all the time. Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sometimes Saturday, we had to travel to get the next place on Saturday. They're doing okay. Thank God they're doing okay. It doesn't mean Satan's not through attacking them, though. I began to realize, hey, I'm glad they married good and they're in good churches and they're serving the Lord, every one of them. And thank God for that. But is it all over? We're not to heaven yet. I thought, I got to keep praying for them because they're going to get attacked. Yeah. Fight the good fight of faith, Paul said to Timothy. Chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. It is a fight. It's a good fight. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. So it's still a fight. But sometimes we get weary, but it doesn't mean quit. Keep swinging. Okay, so there's the enemy. Number two, let's look at the effort that was made here. I really love this. So here's the Philistines. They're gathered together to battle. Men of Israel gone away, whatever happened there. But look at verse 10. He arose. He arose. He didn't go into hiding. He didn't, get down in the trenches or that. He arose and smote. That's pretty good. That's an effort. He presented himself. He made his presence known. He showed up for the battle. Somebody's got to be the one that stands. Okay, listen, God's people are not on the losing side. Sometimes we act like it. Sometimes our faces are just like, oh, man, it's just so hard to be a Christian. Compared to what? Being lost again, going to hell? Well, I think Jesus did say, my yoke is easy. My burden, it's a yoke. Okay, you're wearing a yoke, but it's easy. Why? Because he's in it with us. And my burden, yes, it's a burden. It's okay. Yeah, I'm burdened about it. It's okay. But it's what? It's light. I love Nehemiah there. The people had a mind to work. It's an effort made. He arose and smote. He showed up. Somebody's got to do the work. Somebody's got to make the effort. Somebody's got to clean up afterwards. Somebody's got to lock up. Somebody's got to watch everything. Somebody's got to teach the kids. Somebody's got to keep the nursery. And you know, but we it shouldn't be a got to thing. We get to. It's a privilege. You are saved from the lake of fire. You're going to go, why not go home? It's my night to be in the nursery. Man, thank God. It would be a little hard. Churches that have a whole lot of babies, it would be kind of hard to get through. I think there's a point where Scripture, where they assemble together, and it was those of understanding. And so, if you keep your baby in here, that's fine. I'm not saying that. But if everybody kept all their babies in here, it would be a little, something. Thank God for nursery work. I'm not called in the nursery ministry. I know that. I am not called to that. We get to. He arose. Hey, I'm just saying, get up. Get up and say, God, honestly, maybe physically, you're at a point in your life where you just can't. There's some maybe watching right now, and you just can't, but you can pray. You can get up instead of going to some position and say, I'm just so tired from the Christian life. Hey, heaven will be here before you know it. Enjoy what blessings God's given to us. He has, if we're still on this planet, He has things for us to do, even if it's praying. Especially if it's praying. God help me to keep swinging. To keep swinging. So number one, He arose, presented Himself. Let me just separate a little. He smote, number two, He smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. He was in it for the long haul. You know what a blessing it is to come back to a church and see people that have still been here for 25 years. It's a blessing. But then we get to know folks enough where we will pull away and go, where's so-and-so, Keep praying for them. But don't let it hold you back just because some of Israel went away. It happened to him here. Something happened right here. But he arose, smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, in it for the long haul. Yeah, obviously it was a fight. It was a battle. But whose battle is it? We know the theme of this king that's saying about these mighty men. His thing is, he said, the battle with Goliath, the biggest one, is whose? The Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. But his hand did get weary. His hand got weary, so he quit, right? Is that what the text says? No. He didn't quit. He did get tired. I think you would too if you're fighting for your life, right? But the men of Israel had gone away. Whatever reason, these three mighty men, they kept on fighting even though they were completely exhausted. You ever get sleepy in church? So I remember one time when we were traveling, we were in a church in Texas, and the pastor was gone. We were doing supply for the preacher, and this church hadn't had a piano player for a long time, and so they were really more. I preached, but it was like I was chopped liver or something. They were just all, "Thank you so much." My wife shaking her hand after service. Some people literally shake her hand, didn't even say nothing to me. I'm like, I care about the piano player. Had that, but since they were gone, you know, it was a little like sheep having no shepherd, just a touch of it, because they said, and about 20 of them got together and said, "Hey, we all want to take you out for lunch, okay?" And bless their hearts, I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you what happened. So we went. You know, and it's one thing if we go to a buffet or something, you can start feeding the kids. And I was very good with, you know, we had five kids, bam, 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 little. And so I would get like three or four plates and stack up one high and kind of deal them out like cards and, you know, put a little food on each one. Y'all eat that while I go get mine, you know, and just kind of back and forth. That works buffet, but this wasn't a buffet. They want to go to a menu restaurant. It's a bigger city. We went to this restaurant in a mall. And the line, there was a waiting line because I preached too long or she played too long. I don't know what happened, but so it's extra songs because we had a piano player. Anyway, so we were waiting because they did not just want to divide up. They wanted all 28 people to be at the same table. Little kids, 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. I'm trying to paint the picture for you. I couldn't keep those kids awake. So I don't remember who it was. I don't remember the ages, but I'm pushing a stroller down the mall waiting for us to get, you know, for to come get us. And the time we got to the tables, my kids were just like, you know. And so fast, just lay down on the floor right here. All five kids fell asleep on the restaurant floor before the food finally came. Just, what can you do? I mean, what can you do? Get exhausted? Hope you're awake. Just did that to keep you awake. But his hand clave to the sword. Let's just really look at that. So, I mean, he was swinging. Man, it's a battle different. I know we got military folks in here. In those days, it wasn't like, you know, go around, you know, stealthy, whatever they do now. I mean, it was just like, line of people fighting. It was just all around. He just swing in every direction. There wasn't very many of them. Israel had gone away. He's just swinging and swinging. After God wrote the victory. I'm getting to get the victory part. But his hand was so clenched to that sword, he couldn't let go of it. And he had, I picture in my mind, he's just like, what is this? Blood all over his hand, you know. You got to get the picture. He couldn't let go of it. I mean, God's word ought to be such a part of us. I mean, I grew up with the word of God, with the authorized version that we use. You know, and sometimes I'll say, okay, let me see who's on. It almost makes you mad sometimes. Some preacher or something. But you can pick up right off if it's not this. The Bible talks about not handling the word deceitfully. There's just so much could be put here. And I think, I don't know if everybody has the same Sunday school. Is everybody in Ephesians 6? Or just the adult? Okay. Well, Brother Auger, that was good. I figured the Lord introduced the lesson here because that's where we were. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's that two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The joints and marrow is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It ought to be so stuck, so much a part of our lives that we can't let go of it. Yeah. And then number three. Man, let's look back at verse 10. Hand clay of the sword. And then it says Eleazar wrought a great victory that day. Is that really what it said? Who wrought the great victory? The Lord did. We already know from David the battle is the Lord's. The Lord wrought a great victory. It really shouldn't have been possible for, let's just say, three guys. Maybe it was more than that, but I don't know. I mean, this one guy, we know that this first guy took a spear and cleared 800 at one time. It's easy just to read a few words like that, but you think about it. I probably could have done better with 800 with a sword, but he did it with a spear. You have to keep, maybe he decked him on the end. I don't know how. That is a little bit outnumbered there. The Lord was involved in something here. That's not even possible. But this very two-edged sword that we own says that with God all things are possible.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Let's focus on the word cleave for just a minute as we run this thing, finish it out. Man, there's so many, if you do cross-reference study on it, just so much we could do. On cleaving. I want you to turn to this one, 2 Kings chapter 18. Let's look at that. Let's see, I've got to go the other way. 2 Kings chapter 18. Just want to read a few verses of this. Love to hear the pages turning. 2 Kings chapter 18. Hezekiah here. Came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel. Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign 25 years, did that which was right, verse 3, sight of the Lord. Remove the high places, break down the images, cut down the groves, break in pieces the brazen serpent at Moses. And they started worshiping that. It's such a good picture there in John 3, but they had to deal with that. Verse 5, and it's good he trusts in the Lord God of Israel. So that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any before him. Wow. And verse 6 defines it. For he what? Clave to the Lord. Isn't that good? God blesses when you cleave to him. I think it works in marriage too, didn't it? Then Genesis 2. Therefore, shall man leave his father and his mother and shall what? Cleave. There's that word. It's good. Jesus repeated that too. Cleave to your wife. Moses' last words, Deuteronomy, ye that did cleave to the Lord, you're alive this day. He talked about that. Joshua brings it up too, cleaving to the Lord. In the book of Acts, jumping there at the church of Antioch, Barnabas said that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. It's there too. Another way that it comes out in our English is hold fast. I like that. Hold fast. Man, so many ways. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hebrews, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Good, isn't it? I want to land on this one, and we're almost done. Romans chapter 12. It's a simple verse. Romans chapter 12. Man, don't you love Romans 12? It's just so full and Just so much in there. Living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. And here's where we're going. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Look up here. For whatever reason, we Christians will sometimes drop the sword. Can we be honest? I mean, in our hearts, we still stand for it, okay? But some just drop it, sad to say. Now, you may think right now, I'm not there, and thank God for that. With the Lord's help. This just needs to be part of us. And let's depend on Him instead of ourselves to, you know, hopefully we, you know, going to church and attending regular and being a part of it, it works good on a checklist, a very good habit. But, I mean, this is a worship service, what we called it. We're here because we love Him. And we sure do need Him. But I'm just concerned that there's been a shift in Bible-believing Baptist churches. Kids have grown up in it. And I'm not sure what lure Satan uses to distract. And maybe they got hurt. I've been hurt before. Okay? We've all been hurt. Few people in the Bible have been hurt. You think Paul got hurt a few times? But Paul knew he hurt a few people, you know. Keep it in perspective, but I'm just thinking, really? But they'll maybe look at something not quite as sharp. Not quite as, you know, not quite as... No. And maybe they'll redefine the sword. It's already defined itself, so we don't need to change that. It's fine. I mean, think about it. If you're going to be in the fight's there, whether you think it's there or not, but if you think you have a chance out there without, can you imagine? Okay, we're going to go. Try to defend ourselves. Oh, man, I forgot my... You can't redefine it. Let me use another word I'm hearing in the culture. We're going to reimagine. I almost gag when I hear that. Let's reimagine church. It's not ours to reimagine. The Lord said that He would build His church. It's His church, okay? This church right here, I believe, by your stand, is one of the Lord's churches, from what I have observed through the years. But it's not owned by Brother Jeff Merrick. He doesn't own this church. The Lord owns this church. It's not about the structure and the property either. It's you. You can't look to the other strategies out there for church building. I mean, I'm talking about addition and, you know, growth, population growth in the churches. And if you want to look to how to do it, you look to the instruction book. You know, I'm amazed how many people will say, man, if there was an instruction book for life, I sure wouldn't like to. Here it is. Instruction in righteousness. It says, it really does say instruction in righteousness. You got to cleave to this. Because people are going to be, Satan just kind of lured, hey, let's look at something that's, you know, where nobody's getting hurt in a religious type of assembly. I hate to even use the word a church if it's not one, but there's things out there. Let me just be careful. There's a lot of folks that are sincere, and they may have some marks of what the Lord started of His churches, but that's not how to define. We go to here. We have to go to here. You look at the patterns in Acts. That's what you do. You can't go to things that people have decided to accept. So, many will let the sword go because they want to give in to temptations, to be self-dependent. You know, they're just let go of a lot of things that are good. You know what? When hands let go of what's good, they're going to pick up something else. Hands do what hands do. They're going to pick up something. Okay? The word cleave, you look in that deep definition of it. I mean, it's kind of obvious what it should mean, but it is. Some of the definition I saw in there had the word glue in it. I think that's good. And again, it's a choice. There's other ways you can see this word that's behind the word cleave here. It's be joined, keep company. It really says to glue together, to cement. We just need to put some rebar in the cement and just leave it alone. It's God's word. Just glue to it. Glue yourself to this book. And everything it says, love God and His word. And just like Eliezer was basically at one with his weapon, in some sense, we need to be at one with the word of God. It needs to be part of us. Just defining and working and structuring every part of our lives. Never missing the preaching, never missing the personal time. But we're easily distracted. Entertainment is getting easier and easier just to look at, or you got all this stuff, and it's easy to get distracted, church. Real easy. You better just stick to it, or we'll get easily redistracted to redefine, to look at something else. I'm almost done. I'm on the last page of my note. Does that help you? Eliezer used that real sword so much and for so long that, poetically speaking, it became part of his hand. That's what it says. He was joined to it. He couldn't let go of it. I love this scripture. I'm just going to quote it. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. I did that already. And it says, lay hold on eternal life. I like that. Lay hold has the idea of seize upon it. Okay? You think, well, I've already have eternal life. You know, it's one thing to have it. But it's another thing to really seize upon it. Okay? It came. Eternal life came as part of the package of salvation. But it means pick it up and use it for the glory of God. Eternal life is amongst our spiritual possessions, and it should cause us to worry a little less about whether we're going to, you know, hurt somebody's feelings just by speaking the truth in love. If you're practicing the way God's word says, and there's a way to do it that's wrong. You know, you've been watching this guy and you know there don't seem to be no testimony of salvation. You just got going through and say, man, you know you're lost, you're going to hell. You know, there, okay, you may have stated a fact there, but if you speak the truth in love, it might have made a difference, you know. Having compassion, you know, kind of makes a difference. Yep, sir. That's in there. It's all in here. It's all in here, okay? But we tend to do this. We're just like, you know, I'm a little tired. I'm a little weary. I think I'm just going to put that down and try maybe something else. Because there's a chance that might cut somebody, right? I mean, there's a chance that might cut somebody. It's kind of, whoo. But if it's done the way speaking truth in love, it'll make a difference. I really feel like that sometimes we get over our everlasting life. You know what I mean? It gets to be old news a little bit. It can. It's, it, I'm just saying there's a temptation for us just to be in the routine. And I don't know, just kind of gotten used to it. When we first got saved, there's an excitement there, and that's why we need revival, just to focus, just make sure everything's off. So here's what we do. We do a fast a week. And the week of revival, we do a screen fast. We don't watch TV. I try to give some room. If you have to look at a screen for your business, or maybe those that are older, you're addicted to weather, you can check it, but don't, you know, don't watch the whole weather channel for an hour. You know, if you... Amazed how much older I get, the more I watch the weather. I don't know, that's a thing. Why does it matter that much? But that's what we do. Have a screen fast. And so, because you don't realize how much you reach for it until you just say, I just need to focus a little bit here. Something else may be replacing the sword in your life and you not even realize it. Mm-hmm. You know, we may not be using it for His glory, okay? I'm talking about cleaving dearly to it like it's the best thing that ever happened to us. You remember how it was when you first got saved? Man. Huh? My dad was a blessing this year. Hunting season's coming along, and he said, I want to get you a new crossbow for Christmas. Okay. He said, but, you know, I want you to have it opening day. We'd seen a deer. And I said, so what level can I get? And this doesn't mean a lot to anybody else here, but he got me an Excalibur Assassin. Sweet. It's a sweet crossbow. It's an old man bow. Has a little, you don't have to put it up like this. It has a little crank. It's real easy to crank. It's nice. I got my biggest deer ever. You know, when you're really in love with something, you're not going to let it go. It's important to you. And you're not going to be ashamed to tell other people about it. Especially if when it's treating you right. Huh? I don't know much about a bow. I keep messing up what the arrows are called. We have a guy in our church that they have a bow shop. I kept pronouncing fletching wrong. I kept saying fleshing or something. And he just called me a rookie. I don't care. I'm excited. See, when you're really into something, you're excited about it. Man, that's really the last point, the excitement. Look at this, verse 10. The great victory the Lord brought. Man, the Lord did it. All glory to Him. And look at this. The people returned. Oh, okay, they came back for the spoil. But, I mean, hey, it was exciting. He whacked everybody down, and look at the blessings they got from him. Those days, man, reminds me of my uncle. I have a great uncle that he's passed away now, but he was in World War II and the Korean War. He's a sergeant, a gunner sergeant in the Korean War, and he had this gun, had a mark on it. He was of the Chosin Frozen. He was that, if that means anything to you Marines, but we probably have Marines this close to Air Force Base anyway. Is there any? Okay. Sorry, man, I shouldn't have said that out loud. Don't get too quiet. You scare me. Don't get too quiet. It's just a fact. I'm not bragging on them. I mean, thank God for our military. Fixed. It's fixed. It's okay now. Anyway, he brought it back, and he goes, yeah, guy didn't look like he needed it anymore, so I just took it. Say much till right at the end. You know, Matthew went to be with the Lord January of 2010. Well, my uncle was December 15th, 2010. So it was January to December. We spent some time. He lost a son too. Anyway, I just got to talking about it. He opened up some that year. What an honor, huh? Spoils from the battle. You know how blessed we are to live the life we have. It's so good. The Christian life is so good. Are there some trials? Sure. We're supposed to rejoice that we're partakers of Christ's sufferings. Are we really going through some of Christ's suffering? Maybe a few words now and then. Spoils from the battle. All I can say is finishing up is cleave to that which is good. This is as good as it gets. It doesn't get any better than the holy, precious Word of God. Amen. And I don't think there'll be any in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ, that's going to regret loving God and standing for Him. Nobody's going to regret that. Nobody's going to regret that. You know what? You can be a mighty man or a mighty woman for God. You can. It's not about that necessarily. It's for Him. But thou, therefore, endure hardness. Yeah, there's some hardness. Not the way of transgressors. We're saved. But there is some hardness. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't pick up something else. Cleave to the sword of the Spirit and enjoy the victories that God has. They're good, aren't they? They're good. Then the Lord has many more victories to win in your life. You know that? And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. So cleave to the sword.